Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Since its inception, the U.S. Department of Transportation has been responsible for ensuring a safe, efficient, accessible, and convenient transportation system. Information technology enables the department to meet its mission services. Today, government IT executives must remain true to their agency's strategic intent while addressing many challenges in the government IT landscape. Among those challenges are constrained budgets, rapid technological advancement, and new government mandates. Like most federal departments, the DOT has sought to meet these challenges head-on, and to do that requires a strong mission support infrastructure. Specifically, it is information technology at its core that supports DOT's strategic goals while keeping an eye on the improvement of operational efficiency and smarter resource management. What is DOT's information technology strategy? How is DOT keeping pace with transformative IT advances? And what is DOT doing to advance its use of enterprise services and collaborative work options? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Richard McKinney, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Transportation. Richard, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here with you.
Also joining us from IBM is Paul Kayada. Paul, welcome as always.
Michael, thanks.
Richard, I always like to start our conversations by providing our listeners with some context about the organization our guests represent, in this case, the U.S. Department of Transportation. Perhaps you could provide us with a brief overview of the history and continuing evolution of its mission.
Well, you know, I've been there 20 months now, and I think one of the joys of this job has been, you know, I came in, was hired to be a CIO, probably didn't know any more about transportation than the average guy that spent a lot of time flying on airplanes. But one of the joys of this job has been discovering the mission. It's a very passionate mission at the Department of Transportation. I think if you had to boil it all down to one word, it'd be safety. It's about how to move people and things from point A to point B safely and securely. And there's a tremendous passion, whether it's, you know, the roads that we build to get us there, the bridges that we build, the cars we drive, the pipelines we use to transmit hazardous materials or other materials, public transportation, obviously FAA and, you know, all things national airspace. And so from one side of the department to another, there's a singular focus on the safety of the traveling public and traveling commerce.
So with that interesting mission that the DOT has, I'd like to get a sense of the scale of operation and the mission support area you support. So would you kind of give us a sense of the number of folks that work at the department in terms of FTEs, the budget?
I don't get these numbers right, but, you know, we're an 80-some billion-dollar budget. We're 50-some thousand employees.
So now that we've actually gotten a sense for the whole department, maybe we can drill down a little bit into your world. You can tell us a little bit about your specific area and what it's like to be the Chief Information Officer of the Department of Transportation.
Well, it's a joy and an honor to start off with, and I totally mean that. Was honored to be hired by Secretary LaHood, honored to work for Secretary Fox. The Office of the CIO is in the Office of the Secretary. And, we have a lot of challenges. I love challenges. So coming in, it was I felt comfortable in the role. I had been a CIO in a state and local space for a pretty long time, and I left and I went to work for Microsoft for a while, and I stayed in the state and local space more of as a consultant. But the further I got from those days of public service, the more I missed actually being the CIO. I actually missed being in that chair and having those challenges in front of me. So when I was offered this position, I snapped at it and really am enjoying it, enjoy the people I work with, the people I work for. And, I think I got the greatest job on the planet.
How is your office organized, and what are the efforts to support the overall mission?
Well, my office, even how I break down as far as the components of my office, well, I have an area that focuses on the common operating environment, our shared services environment, which I'd like to grow, and we can talk about that some. I have a policy area. I have obviously, I have an RMO, somebody's managing the resource stuff. I have an office that works on investments and, keeping track of our portfolio and the department's investments. And I have a security wing, if you will, a chief information security officers. I have a chief technology officer and who takes care of enterprise architecture. Our chief data officer and our chief geospatial officer report up through her. And and I have a deputy. So, that's kind of – those are my direct reports. I think I touched all the bases there. But those are all the pieces of my office.
Well, Richard, given your roles and responsibilities as the CIO of DOT, what would you say are your, say, three top challenges that you face, and how have you sought to address them?
Well, I get asked this question a lot, so it's one I've given a lot of thought to. I think just right in the door, I had two – tangential concerns. One, I was concerned from what I was able to read up on and study before the day I arrived, was that the department had been graded around cybersecurity issues, and we weren't, we were kind of down in the rankings, if you will, of cabinet level departments on how we were, meeting some of our security requirements around FISMA. And so that sort of led me to believe, and again, because of my broad exposure to IT and government at a state and local level, my hunch was, okay, they probably have a very federated environment, and they probably have IT is probably quite siloed. There may not be the governance structure in place that would better serve the department. And that's what I told Secretary LaHood when I interviewed. And he said, "What are you going to tackle?" I said, "I'm going to go try to figure out, first of all, why the cybersecurity rankings?" And I said, I am absolutely convinced that that will lead me to other issues. And sure enough, it immediately led me to the conclusion that I just I said, which is the department was very federated, didn't have the governance processes in place. So I began by having that conversation with the CIOs in the various operating administrations who really didn't have a governance model in place. There may have been some attempts at it, but it was not a very formal relationship. The first couple times I met with them, they kind of just sat there as if I was just going to lecture and PowerPoint and they were going to observe me. And after a couple of them, I said, this is the last time we have a meeting like this. We're going to learn to do business with one another. We're going to learn how to sit around a table and we're going to learn how to discuss these issues. And it's going to be a give and take. And I'm not going to do dog and pony shows. That won't get us to where we need to get to. And I invited them into a reimagining of how we could build a governance process.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other challenges around governance besides governance and cybersecurity that you thought of?
Well, that's a lot. I mean, let me just say, tackling that,
Is it a resource challenge in terms of the federated model and your role?
Well, I believe, and I've seen this in the governments that I've worked in before and in the governments I've consulted with, is federated environments are needlessly duplicative. Yeah. And it's that duplication, that unnecessary overlap, that is the beast that always gets fed first. And it's what steals all the money. My career in government began really at the beginning of the exodus away from the old centralized, there was one mainframe, it was in one office, and it gave IT services to various, departments or agencies of government. And I came in the early 80s, which was really the beginning of the exodus from that, where, the business unit said, I'm a little tired of being wholly and solely dependent upon this central shop for my IT services. I think I could do better if I sat out on my own. And, quite frankly, as a young guy coming into government and witnessing this, I actually thought, well, that makes perfect sense. I really agree with that. And so the 1980s, there was a whole lot of that moving IT to the edge of the organization. And that really became what we now call the silos of government, where the information technology infrastructure ended up being recreated in all these various offices. Well, maybe pre-internet that made sense, and it didn't seem, there wasn't a real downside to that. But as we began to realize that we could connect our systems. So back in the 1980s, these various systems were very proprietary, brand specific. In other words, you had an AS 400 for this, you had a Honeywell Bull for this, you had a Sperry's for this, and they ran specific applications. And what happened is through the 80s and then into the early 90s, as the sort of the Wintel platform and the Unix platform matured, a lot of those vendors of those business-specific apps migrated their apps to these platforms. And all of a sudden, you looked up one day, and here was a government with a whole lot of infrastructures that were really quite similar to one another. And therein lies the what I think was the needless duplicativeness of architecture. So we then started to have a conversation. And state and local had this conversation in the late 90s and really into the early 2000s. I was CIO of the city of Nashville, and we had this conversation about, hey, we didn't like that centralized model. This decentralized model isn't working much better. Do you think that there's a balance in the middle that we could figure out what's common to all of them? What part of the infrastructure is sort of a utility that an enterprise could provide for the various business units, and then leave behind the responsibility for the business with the business? The argument I presented to the business units is, you didn't wake up one day and decide you wanted to own IT infrastructure. You wanted to control the outcome. You wanted to control the solution. And there was a time where you had to get in the IT business in order to procure and operate that solution. I said, that time's past now. Let's figure out how we can find the balance between these two models. Let the enterprise do the 70% that's common to everybody as a utility to the government, and then let the IT folks in the businesses themselves just focus on the next generation of solution. Because my argument was, is in Nashville, and it's now become my argument in DOT, is that we have a lot of money around IT. If we spend it more wisely, it could go a lot further, and we'd be much happier with the result. But if we're going to allow it to stay federated and allow this duplicativeness to persist, the infrastructure takes up all of our resources. And then we look up one day and we're firefighting and we're having to do all that stuff. And we look up one day and say, we haven't modernized in a while. We've been kicking that can down the road because we can't seem to get over the hump of the limitations that our enterprise architecture puts on us.
Well, Richard, finding that balance between commodity IT and mission IT takes leadership. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get a sense of your leadership style and management approach. What makes an effective leader?
Well, I've seen all different kinds of leaders. So I'm not going to claim that my style is the best. But if you ask me how I approach, it might sound Pollyannish, but I don't really care, is that I just try to treat people the way I want to be treated. And in this role, what that means is I try to be as good of a listener as I am a talker. Mm-hmm. And I try to put myself in their shoes, because really what I'm asking them to do is to put themselves in my shoes. Mm-hmm. And if I don't demonstrate a willingness to listen and listen closely and not listen with the intent of coming back with a snappy comeback, but listen to digest what it is that they're trying to tell me and the concerns. Again, I find very few people who are, when you peel the onion all the way back and get to their concerns, those are unreal, not real concerns. They do have real concerns, and they should be respected for that. But that doesn't mean we can't, have a discussion about that. But I think a healthy discussion begins with being a good listener. So that's how I sort of try to interact with my customers, if you will. Mm-hmm. From a staff standpoint, I clearly recognize that IT is a team sport, and that I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough experience. I don't have all the tools that are required to cover the broad expanse that a CIO office has to cover. But if I surround myself with good people and I foster a healthy environment for good dialogue if I empower my employees to think and challenge me. That's, you know, I'm pressing my team all the time. Challenge me on that. You know, where am I wrong? You know, and let them know that it's okay to argue, and you know, we can shut the door and we can have it out. You know, and we can, and we should. We should explore all the, you know, all the options, all the points of view. We shouldn't. You know, they're not there to parrot what I say. They're there to make me smarter. And you know, and then I think my job is to look at them, listen to them, and understand what it is I've asked them to do, to sort of keep my finger on the pulse of how that's turning out, try to figure out what's in their way. I mean, I recognize that in my position I have a certain power that maybe they don't have, and I like to use that to help them get the things that are in their way out of their way, the things that are impeding them from getting their job done. And so I spend a lot of time listening to them and trying to figure out, okay, how's it going? You know, what are you up to? What did you encounter? How can I help you? For me, that's worked. In every environment I've ever tried to do that, it's worked. Not everybody does it that way, and I understand that. So I don't think there's one way to be a CIO, but that's the way I do it.
What is DOT's information technology strategy? We will ask Richard McKinney, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Transportation, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.